स्थापितं जैन भूतले स्वयं रूपाग्रमायं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् एवरीवन कैन रिपीट आफ्टर मी नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नमः नमस्ते सर्वपापे गौरवान् कृष्णाय निर्विशेष निर्वाचितस्य चतुर्शिकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद जय द्वैत गदाधर श्री राम श्री गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद की
जय
एक्चुअली द सब्जेक्ट मैटर इज It's quite a, I would say in many ways, a heavy subject matter, and quite a large one as well. And we will just be touching on hopefully some of the main points or features, or at least some of the important aspects. Basically, this is directly connected with what pretty well everyone knows a little bit about, what is called the science of Dharma. The science of Dharma. We know from our Vedic literatures, and Srila Prabhupada, many times he would speak about what is called Sanatana Dharma, isn't it? The eternal quality, or the eternal occupation, the eternal nature of the living entity. Of course, Dharma can refer to the eternal quality or nature of anything. Dharma is something extremely important, probably the most important subject matter for those who are interested in understanding life, in understanding nature, in understanding actually everything. What we generally understand less is that Dharma is existing on two distinct levels. Dharma has two features, two eternal features as well, both of which are very scientific, very profound in nature, very complete, and they have to do with the dimension of the soul, on the one hand, that is called Bhagavat Dharma, and the other level is on the level of the body, or material nature. So, spirit and matter. Spirit is referred to as the science of Bhagavat Dharma, whereas matter, material energy, which means also this material body, is the science of Varnashrama Dharma. Both, for those of us, means all of us who are here in the material world, are essential to understand, because we are made up of these two dimensions, isn't it? We have the soul dimension within the body, and the body is the material dimension, having to deal every second, every single moment of the day and night with the material energy in which we are living. Very often when one comes to spiritual life, regardless of what path one may take up, of course, we recommend the path given by founder Acharya of our society, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, which brings one to the highest level, and probably something that many devotees are less familiar with is that we have a unique situation within this movement established by Srila Prabhupada, because he is representing a whole line of great personalities, great acharyas. The unique feature of the teachings given by Srila Prabhupada and the what we call Guru Parampara, the disciplic succession, is that if we compare to other spiritual paths, or if we compare to other religious, let's say, denominations, something very unique in that we get a very deep and complete understanding of these two dimensions, or these two levels of Dharma. Hopefully the presentation this evening will get that message across a little bit. Most people, including, I would say, many of our devotees who have joined the International International Society for Krishna Consciousness have generally tended more towards one of these two levels, meaning the spiritual dimension, the science of what we call Bhagavat Dharma, and are less involved with and less familiar with as well the other dimension. So Srila Prabhupada, he used to explain that it's like a railway track. These two understandings or two levels of dharma are like a railway track. If you have only one, then it creates a difficult situation, it creates an imbalance, isn't it? Before we begin the PowerPoint, something very important we need to understand. There are so many things we need to understand, actually. But one very important text, which is helpful, especially to understand the second dimension, the one regarding Varnashrama Dharma, is a book entitled Kautilya Arthashastra. It is part of our Vedic literature, and it is written by a well-known personality who had a lot of wisdom and knowledge, Chanakya. Actually, Kautilya is another name for Chanakya. Chanakya Pandit. Pandit means learned person. In his Kautilya Arthashastra, which is basically giving information on the science of governance. And it is a text especially for Kshatriyas, those who are meant to lead and organize society. He begins by explaining four sciences. Now it's very helpful for us to know, and I'll just very briefly mention them. There are four sciences which, once we become a little bit acquainted with them, they cover actually the whole spectrum of what we need to know in order to function properly, both on the spiritual level as well as on the material level. The first science is referred to as the science of philosophy or metaphysics. And this first one is actually directly connected with the other three sciences, which I'll explain briefly. These other three sciences are the domain or the specialty of three important personalities in society who are meant to be leaders, natural leaders. In our Vedic and the Sanskrit terms, I'll mention them briefly, explain the nature of these three. They're referred to as dvijas, or twice born. And they are the brahmanas, means the intellectual class in society, the kshatriyas, the administrative class, and the vaishyas, the productive class. So the second science is the science of Vedic knowledge, the Vedas, which is divided actually into 14 books of knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is part of that. This is especially meant to be very deeply studied by brahmanas. The third science is the science of politics. Politics. Politics has its place in the Vedic culture and has its place in spirituality as well, because those who are meant to lead society, they are, in the Bhagavad Gita, referred to as Rajarshi. Means Raja and Rishi, qualified kings, and also Rishis, very wise persons. And their science is the science of politics, which is basically divided into three. Administration, first actually is protection of land, protection of citizens, not only citizens, protection of cows especially, protection of all living entities, and protection of the principles of dharma. Second, administration, how to organize society so that everything is properly arranged to meet the basic needs and necessities of all living entities, especially those in the human form of life. And the third is welfare, various welfare activities. That is the domain of what we call kshatriyas, or leaders. And that's the third science, science of politics. And the fourth science, which may be of interest to some, well, should be of interest to everyone, it's called the science of economics. Economics, we think of money. In the Vedic culture, the science of economics is understood in three words. Three ideas, three activities, which comprise the entire science of economics. Something that in present-day society, as I mentioned these three, has been forgotten, unfortunately. Therefore, we are in a very vulnerable and global economy is in danger. The three activities, this is according to the Vedic understanding, is number one, krishi. Krishi means agriculture. Best economy, actually, in the whole history of mankind, which has always been practiced and followed, is based on food production. That's a whole science, actually. So krishi, that is followed by or accompanied by goraksha, means protection of cows. We cannot properly work the land or produce food. Land is bhumi in the Vedic culture. She is one of the seven mothers, isn't it? Cow is also mother. So we cannot properly work the land or give proper respect to Mother Earth without using or having the cows or the bullocks actually till the land. So krishi, goraksha, and then the third is vanijam. This is directly from the Bhagavad Gita. All of these are actually found in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of the Vedic knowledge, and further elaborated upon in other literatures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So the third is actually vanijam, which means trade, exchange, but trade on krishi and goraksha, not the kind of trade or business as we understand in Bhagavad-based society, based on industry and all kinds of products coming out of factories, etc., which 90% of which is unnecessary, actually, for our daily use. So, having given this introduction, very briefly describe these four sciences. Within these four sciences, we can see, isn't it, the first one, philosophy, actually, the philosophy is dealing or connected, as I mentioned earlier, with all the three. It means philosophy is connected with the science of the Brahmanas, the science of the Kshatriyas, and the science of the Vaishyas. So, there's a mixture of both the spiritual level and the material level. Brahmanas actually not only should be well versed in spiritual subject matters, but it is the Brahmanas. If you look at the writings, the Vedic literatures, who has written for example, the science of health, medicine, Nandantari, even agriculture, whatever knowledge, material science, these are meant to be known first and foremost by the Brahmanas, because they are, by nature, having the ability, they are more intellectual, they will spend more time learning these things, and they will transmit or teach these sciences, this knowledge, to the Kshatriyas, they will teach to the Vaishyas, and they will teach as well to the Shudras. Now, most of us nowadays, of course, when we speak about Varnashram, I should mention that we're not referring to what our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada referred to as the vitiated or perverted caste system, which is existing and has been existing in India for many, many years. The same divisions, however, of varna for varnas and ashramas for ashramas, when they are properly understood and applied and followed, they actually form or constitute the most perfect social system, whereby individuals within society can actually progress more easily and more quickly towards the goal of life, which is self-realization. Okay, now we will go directly to our presentation here, and this is the PowerPoint on
seems to be off. Should I press power?
Yeah. And it should, it was just in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should come within a couple seconds. There it is. Yes. So, global eco villages. We could have given, as we have a number of presentations, and one point, if you can walk away this evening with just this one point I will mention now, so kind of hear attentively. Vedic culture, and practically speaking, all traditional cultures are by nature agrarian-based. Agrarian-based means the vast majority of individuals within those societies are closely, intimately connected with the land and with the cows. Nowadays, it's becoming more and more discussed, and more individuals are feeling the need to again become localized, isn't it? I just saw a billboard somewhere, I forget now. I've been traveling a few cities. localized living. I think it mentioned something that nice sign, you know, you see billboards that says live locally, produce locally. Yeah, it was at one airport somewhere, and enjoy, you know, fresh, wholesome food, healthy food. So nowadays we're not living locally, we're not producing healthy food, and to a large extent, because of that, we're not happy. We're full of anxiety. So, this particular presentation is dealing more with, actually, you know, this second dimension of dharma. But both are intimately interconnected. And that's why, let's say, maybe 2,500 years ago, when Lord Buddha appeared in India, he noticed that actually the Brahmins at that time had disconnected, you know, the material from the spiritual, and they were allowing all kinds of unnecessary slaughtering of animals, including the cows. And Lord Buddha appeared actually for the purpose of correcting that situation. Means sometimes, especially because now it is Kali Yuga, which started 5,000 years ago, very easily, if one is not cautious, one will be misled, isn't it? And therefore, what is very important is that these four, what we call divisions, four social divisions of Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Shudras, many people will think that, you know, what Shudra that is? Shudra is something very negative or bad, but actually it's not. To become a human being, our founder Acharya explains, to actually become civilized in a human being, you must at least become a qualified Shudra. Without the system of Varnashrama, society is not considered civilized. Why? Because every individual within the system of Varnashrama understands what is the goal of life, and in this way follow various directives, various rules and regulations, and they progress gradually towards the goal of life, which is self-realization. Now the goal of life in modern society, because we have deviated in a very major way, the goal of life for most people, definitely for most countries, is, what is it? Economic development, isn't it? Economic development, thinking that the more we can develop a nation and have nice superhighways and cars and nice high-rise buildings, etc., the more we can have these things, we'll be happy. This is called, from a Vedic perspective, Maya with a capital M. Probably capital A and Y and A. It's all Maya. And we're totally engrossed in this, and even those who are practicing devotees, for example, because we have, in a major way, especially in North America, totally deviated. So, let's get into the presentation here. I'll try to comment briefly as we go along, and yeah. So this presentation is meant to promote some of these following things here, the whole ideology of sustainability, to bring awareness to all of us, to serve as maybe an impetus for taking individual initiative or collective initiative and leading towards commitment and change, that we lead for bringing about change within society. Sustainable community development. Again, I mentioned this. This is the one idea I'd like everyone to really take with you this evening. Vedic culture and traditional cultures are agrarian based. We are living and experiencing how modern society is becoming more and more urbanized, isn't it? So, in such a way that actually we are destroying the basic foundation of how we should live. You know, we are going away from the land. We are becoming globalized, whereas, as opposed to remaining localized. And we are selling land. We are sending cows to the slaughterhouse, even in India. I believe the number one exporter in leather. So even in the land of Dharma, India has always been known as the land of piety, the land of Dharma. These kinds of very, you know, this major deviation is also taking place, which is, if it's taking place in the land of Dharma, how much more deviation is taking place outside of India. So sustainability in terms of society, social sustainability, we'll look at this very briefly, in terms of economical sustainability, and in terms of environmental sustainability. First, social sustainability. For the individual, it means that actually, if one is fortunate, one will come in contact with, you know, this important knowledge. And this is normally done in a very scientific educational system called Gurukula. And nowadays, we've totally forgotten about that. In Gurukula, you have both a qualified teacher and a qualified student. What makes a qualified teacher? There are 9 qualities described in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, the qualities of Brahmana. And 3 qualities which are mentioned in the 4th chapter in terms of the student. In Vedic culture, teachers, they freely give knowledge, but not anybody and everybody. They give to those who are qualified, they choose their students. And students, they get free education. They don't have to pay because knowledge, there are five things, according to one of our great teachers, Bhishma Dev, who in the very important work of Mahabharata is explaining that there are actually five things which should never be sold, which should not be seen or considered as commodities. One of them is knowledge. Knowledge is not something that one should sell, as we are doing it today in modern day educational systems. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was quite heavy in speaking about, you know, the whole educational system today. One should also traditionally not sell land. Land was made freely available, and there was a simple system whereby one would give a fixed percentage, and that was the only tax that one had to. So land, food as well. Food was given freely. Cows were never meant to be sold as well, and milk. This is it's a total different approach in terms of how to do things, how to live. And because nowadays we're so far away from that when we hear it in the beginning, for some of us it may be a little difficult to understand or to accept, actually. So in terms of society, that society, as I mentioned before, needs to be divided into these four natural divisions of varnas and ashramas. We don't have time to get into much detail, but varna and ashramas mean social divisions of society, and what we call spiritual divisions of society are nicely explained actually in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, by another great Acharya personality, Sridhar Narada Muni. And majority of people in that system, as I mentioned, they actually are living in villages. So the deviation, major deviation that we're living right now, started actually quite recently. It started with the Industrial Revolution in Europe 200 years ago approximately, and has come in the West. And Srila Prabhupada himself explains that, you know, even in India up until a few decades ago, like I recall when I went to India in the mid-70s, probably 85% or more of the people were still living in the villages. Now it's gone below 70, and within a few years, predictions are it will be going down to 50%. And here in America, it's already, you know, the number, percentage of people living off the land is like maybe 2%. 98% of the population in North America, means US and Canada, are totally disconnected with land, totally disconnected with cows, totally dependent on an artificial economy. Because the economy, if you recall, as we mentioned earlier, is based on agriculture, cow protection, and trade. And what is important, this is mentioned here in the bottom. The initial point, or the premise, is that we must know or understand who we are and what is the goal of life. And that's a whole science in itself, which is summarized, as we are mentioning here briefly, in three concepts of sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. Sambandha is the science of relationships, actually, beginning with knowing who we are, our identity. And the vast majority of people in the material world consider that they are this body. But actually, Vedic knowledge is teaching us, no, this body is just a temporary machine. We are the spirit soul. And so that begins a whole different outlook in terms of what life is all about, and how we go about utilizing things, you know, in this world, etc. Economic sustainability, I went ahead of myself, and I'm just mentioning it here, so we don't have to. What's interesting, however, in the bottom, you can see here, produce only what you need, use only what you produce, are very profound maxims, which you start to think about it, when one lives locally, one can begin to apply this. Otherwise, it's like non-existent, so to speak. And when we begin to do this, to apply this philosophy or understanding, then we can begin to live a more simplified life. And by living a more simplified life, we can think about higher things in life, especially spiritual emancipation. And environmental sustainability, the four main enemies of agriculture today are these four, isn't it? chemical fertilizers, chemical pesticides, high-grade seeds, and machines. And it's happening on a global scale. I don't want to even start talking about it because probably many of you are knowing it, and if you don't, you can just Google it. But our whole planet is actually being destroyed because we are deviating on all different levels from the original basic, I would say, concepts and principles. Very, very important. And this is the basis of philosophy, actually, to understand some basic concepts of life. And if we fail to do that, then our whole life will be wasted, will spoil this very rare opportunity. You know, human life is a gift. It's a rare gift. Bahunam dhananamanti, after many, many lifetimes, one who is fortunate comes to this understanding in the human form of life. Other forms of life, out of the 8,400,000 forms in the material world, don't have opportunity. So it's only in the human form that we, and if we miss it, then we can, God knows when we'll have the opportunity again. And of course, protection of natural resources, because we understand that nature is Krishna's nature, Mother Nature, and the Father is Krishna. Root problem, I mentioned briefly, root problem is that modern civilization is based on basically economy and material needs or material necessities of life. We have forgotten dharma, and we have forgotten moksha. We're just totally materialistic and practically religion is... because religion is misunderstood. Religion, by the way, is not the exact or complete, I would say, translation or understanding of dharma. Dharma is a word we should introduce in the English dictionary, giving it its proper different flavors, so to speak. You know, dharma means occupation, dharma means quality, dharma means duty, many things. And of course, it does mean that this does include the spiritual dimension as well. So, yeah, to summarize, and I mentioned this a little bit, we have deviated from an agrarian-based society to urban-based culture, from agriculture to industry. Industry, as it exists today, or technology, it's not that technology is not, yeah, I mentioned, traditionally we utilize what is called soft technology. Having a bullock for tilling the land is called soft technology. Sitting on the tractor and hearing, you know, Bollywood songs or whatever is hard technology. It's destroying the land, and it is putting people into debt. And in India, I'm sure many of you have heard, some over 200,000 farmers have committed suicide because of getting implicated in this unnatural lifestyle, means where one has to borrow and go with the modern so-called modern, you know, agro-business system that has been introduced, which is destroying in so many ways. So we have abandoned God consciousness and therefore all kinds of negative effects are taking place. Srila Prabhupada mentioned how the immediate program should be village, this was many years ago, village organization, as Mahatma Gandhi contemplated in India. The majority of people, well, were living in villages, as I mentioned, this is going down, and going down very quickly. Within the next maybe 5, 6 years, or 10 years, the whole global situation will be 50%. You know, means in all the countries of the world, it's a global phenomenon. Unless in the human society, the Varnashrama system is introduced, no scheme or social order, health order, etc., will be successful. Prabhupada spoke on many occasions regarding Varnashrama. Once again, we should understand, try to understand Varnashrama. It is God's creation. Krishna has created us all as eternal spirit souls, isn't it? And he has created this material world, material energy. It is his energy. And it's like, you know, when you buy a car, they give you a manual, how to use a car. If you follow the manual, you'll be okay. If you disregard the manual, you'll be in trouble. So Krishna's manual are actually the Vedic literatures. And so they're specifically in terms of how to live, how to utilize material nature, how to utilize this body. All of this information actually is there in what we call Varnashrama Dharma, the science of Varnashrama Dharma. Other interesting quotes. There are two schools of thought in the world. This is from Mahatma Gandhi. One wants to divide the world into cities and the other into villages. The village civilization and the city civilization are totally different things. One depends on machinery and industrialization, and the other on handicrafts. And just coming along here, even in America, Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers, you know, indicated basically, I won't read the whole thing, to save a little time here, how agriculture has always been the most noble occupation and the best means, you know, the best investment. We think that, you know, investing our dollars on the stock market or whatever will make money. The best investment, the best return you can get for your money, so to speak, are seeds. Seeds. And nowadays, seeds are totally being monopolized, as we know, on a large scale. Practically, I believe, close to 95% of the seeds today are hybrid seeds. Means you have to buy your seeds if you can't. So this is totally artificial and extremely dangerous, actually, for society in so many different ways. And one important personality who's very strongly active in terms of promoting some of these ideologies, and Dr. Vandana Shiva, those from India will know her. Anyway, she, in one of her books, she's written quite a few books, she speaks about how when we leave the principles of Dharma, we create imbalances. So, so people from different backgrounds and walks of life, this is one of our devotees, Dirta Kamba Prabhu, who in one of the interviews that he gave was explaining how the current civilization, with its emphasis on ever-increasing production and consumption, is destroying our planet, as we all know. And the basic root problem is that actually, you know, greed, we want more and more because we are on the material bodily platform of life. And these are very important maxims. I mentioned some of them a little earlier. Very often Prabhupada would remind us, first is food. Even on time, Prabhupada explained that our first religion is actually producing food. Our first religion, can you imagine? I mean, our founder, Acharya, is telling, because every day we have to offer food to the deities and to perform our devotional activities, we cannot survive. So, food production and that is offered to Krishna. First is character. Yeah, these two Prabhupada mentioned. You can just have a quick look at this is a little bit of explaining some of the activities that are ongoing within our ISKCON society as well as outside of our society. There are individuals both within our society and in different governments, different countries. More and more people are becoming aware, but there's a really great need to have more individuals and more governments take positive actions to actually bring about the necessary changes that are needed. Of course, in some areas, I was mentioning to some devotees a few days ago how maybe four or five years back, the United Nations or UNESCO had admitted that actually in certain areas, certain fronts, it's like has become so bad, the negative effects, that there is the effects are irreversible. The negative effects are practically irreversible. We fail to understand, but to what extent, due to our deviation, we have or we are continuing to destroy the planet. There are various efforts. For example, these are some of them. We came in contact, or at least I came to know about what is called a global eco network, and they've been working at this whole dimension. And more recently, last year actually, they had their annual conference at one of our communities in Hungary. Actually, we have what is called Krishna Valley, and so we are interfacing with individuals and organizations. This is one particular program in India, quite successful. They got an award also for their activities called Vedi Madhuri. And Krishna Valley, I just mentioned a few minutes ago, you can a lot of important information you can get from their website here. Gita Nagari Bhagavad is what I wanted to show, but I don't know if the time allows. It's about 13 minutes. We made two, actually. The first one was I had this evening, and then a larger one called Make Vrindavan Villages. So this is just closing on this presentation here. That's another. This year, actually, one of our communities in India, near Bombay, won an international award for their development in terms of eco village. In Guyana, not necessarily to go into details, various persons. And this is just giving you an idea, like to form a community. These two things are very important, having a temple, number one, and secondly, having educational institutions. These are some basic recommendations. There are things, even though the situation is actually very, very critical, very precarious, there are many things that can be done. A number of activities are ongoing. We have, for example, in India, a national ministry for developing Varnashram. In Europe as well, we have a ministry and other things that are ongoing. These are some contacts. If anyone is interested to know more, you can write to us. Eventually, we hope to have ministries actually on all the continents and all the countries, so that we can. We have a number of books. We have videos as well available, and in this way, the need to educate ourselves and understand how, the whole material aspect of life is meant to be intimately connected with. That's the meaning of yoga. Yoga is not simply on the spiritual, transcendental level, but we must connect or unite and harmonize everything on the on the material level with the spiritual dimension, and Krishna has given us all the information that we may need. So I think this is probably that was the end here. I need some direction from Govinda Prabhu as to what to do, because sometimes there may be some question, and then there's a video which is, it's like a short video, so I don't know what.
I think, personally, I think that it would be nice to see the short video.
Okay, yeah. And then if anyone has any... Yeah, it's a very short video, and it's let me see. Yeah, we can download it. Or okay. It may not be necessary.
It may not be necessary. It's pretty
yeah, correct.
But we certainly can. We can turn off some of this.
And okay, the sound which.
Consider what it could be. Does it come out of here or does it come out of there?
Actually, it doesn't come out, barely come out of here.
Okay, you just put the microphone on there.
Yeah, I'll try that. So this is entitled The Success Story of Indonesia, a community that was started in 1999 by a group of students, actually. Students that we were cultivating, students from the University of Lampung and the island of Sumatra. So this is like very brief, giving a little preview of. Okay. That's it. That's all, folks. This was just a glimpse. There's a whole video on this, actually. This was done quite a few years back when one of our... I was actually living in Indonesia at that time. This is done probably at least 6 years back, but, and it was done quickly by one of our devotees. The other video, which is called Make Vrindavan Villages, was completed. This is our most recent video this year, and it's available actually on the internet. Make Vrindavan Villages, it's a 45-minute video explaining many of the concepts and also going into more detail regarding. You can put the lights back on. If anyone has any questions or comments, we'll be happy to. Yeah, one question back here.
It's also a comment I want to say, not just a question.
Or a little comment, whatever, yes.
Because I remember at least 2 years back, I have contacted you and have questions about this Varnashram development.
Yes.
Because it was not overemphasized in our society, and I wanted to know a little more how to understand. And His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote a long, long letter in May explaining how to understand through the Srimad Bhagavatam and different literatures in order to understand. And then he reflected on how in our society so much need of this, because actually in the beginning Srila Prabhupada came to the West with his Krishna consciousness and emphasized book distribution, deity worship, the different areas of development, and how this particular time in our movement is the Varnashrama development, and so much needed, because people, they read the books, I can understand this is very, very important. Of course, everything has been in parallel life, but they have to see how a society, how to apply the principles of Bhakti Yoga in the society. They have to see a small society within ISKCON to start seeing how they have to be. I think it's very impressive to me. Like, we have to really form those Varnashrama farms or societies so that other people can see a small picture of how to leave the books, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very impressive. And also because a lot of people, out of distress, and the family was so much progressive, I heard they're going to run into communities to take shelter, and was supposed to give them work to do and help them to understand, even if they don't know a lot about themselves, at least how to live this more civilized life. So this is something very, very extremely important, and it's coming. Like a few years ago was not so much developed, but now it's like everywhere. So we have to know with knowledge how to apply. And that was very impressive to me anyway. I just...
Very interesting. Thank you. Anyone else? Somebody can bring the microphone. Okay, that's it. Oops.
So Maharaj, like in a community like this, you see we have 9 beautiful areas, we have so many things. Is there anything that you could recommend that is very practical? Because you ask us to take away one concept only that is
here's another. Yes.
Locally.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Chant, chant, chant. Plant, plant, plant. One question.
This is maybe a bit specific or practical question, but
yes.
On the subject of cow protection, there's runs into this situation of having a lot of male calves and what to do with them, I mean, in terms of a certain number of bullocks, but then, I don't know, how does it work actually with that in the practical?
That's a whole very good question, very important question as well, because in modern-day society, we are using tractors, for example, therefore we find no use. So the two main activities for bulls and bullocks, of course, bulls, one of the Pandavas, you know, the five Pandavas, the youngest, I believe, was an expert in maintaining and keeping cows. He wrote a thesis or some work is there. We just recently traced it out actually in Orissa, Zainapuri. So it's a whole science how to approximately 50% of cows will, you get 50% male and 50% female. So yes, the question is how to utilize. So that the two main areas are naturally tilling the land, you see. And in the Vedic culture, there is a instruction given that one should not have more land than one can pull out manually the amount of weeds. Because, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned, you know, within for a family, just a few acres of land is actually sufficient. It means that actually many people will have bullocks and utilize them in different ways. That is one of the main activities for male for bullocks, and then transportation. The whole prophet mentions, you know, that and now of course we feel or we practically cannot live without cars, but the whole car industry, machine industry, so to speak, is an artificial way of living, and also is not a sustainable kind of situation. So if we understand the importance of living this more natural lifestyle, we will be learning how to properly utilize both, well, in these two main areas, I would say, the bullocks. One would have to read some of these literatures whereby those who specialize in looking after cows would have more information, but these are the two areas that animals or bullocks are meant to be utilized. And if majority of people are doing that, then of course when animals get older, they're just kept because the mere presence of one cow or one bull is all species in some areas. But definitely the culture, the main culture is that, you know, like it is described how in a place like Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, the king of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, had 900,000 cows. I personally visited a place in India, I think it was in Rajasthan. Rajasthan actually is the number one state in India which has the largest number of cows, which gives a lot of attention to cows. Of course, Gujarat is the number one in terms of protecting the cows. But I saw Goshawa, they have 10,000 cows, they maintain 10,000 cows, and there's one Swami, even now, who has a Goshawa of 100,000 cows. You know, means he has many Goshawas, many places. And there's a whole system of one Goshawa is meant to have like 100 cows. And you duplicate according to the number of cows. Just like a village. A village is meant to have a certain number of villagers. Once you reach a certain level, you create another village. You don't just amalgamate everything and declare it a city, as you know has been done. So there are systems. The science of systems. There are sustainable systems. In many ways, the subject matter that we're discussing this evening is like the science of sustainable systems. And basically they're existing on these two levels. It's another way of presenting it. You know, what I mentioned, Bhagavad Dharma is a sustainable system. It is because it deals with the eternal nature of the soul. And Varnashrama Dharma is also a scientific, sustainable system because it is the system par excellence, you know, that is given in the material world for everyone to properly utilize this body, utilize material nature, etc., for fulfilling the goal of life, which is self-existence. One quick question or comment? Yeah, one or two, and then we can close. Yeah. No, sir. Yeah, 1 second.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Put the mic closer.
The technology that develops and it's more faster.
I can't hear.
Because of technology. And like around the Earth, they say there's 30,000 debris from satellites and so on. So, disaster, I agree with the disaster on the Earth, but also in the space. And somebody said this kind of story that if there would be a cowboy seeing our planet, and if he could want to shoot the planet, right, like just some kind of junky planet, he could see the Earth. And
I'm not speaking
to the planet. The question is the system. Can be expanded. The system can be expanded to.
Can we expand the
system? And further, the
universe. Can anyone understand the question?
No, nobody can understand.
So it's very difficult.
Sorry.
I didn't understand. Yes, what is it?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I was just appreciating you briefly skimmed over reference to the state of Gujarat. And I think that the state of Gujarat as a protectorate of the cow deserves a lot of acknowledgement. Our god brother, Yasomatanandan, has done some incredible preaching there. And the politicians have made everybody here probably already knows beef is contraband, anything to do with killing of the cow is contraband, anyone that is found by the police transporting anything to do with cow bodily products, the truck is confiscated, the driver is put in prison until he's tried, the owner of the truck is also charged. And this is because of the preaching of the devotees in the state of Gujarat, which has been going on for since he basically is awesome preaching in Ahmedabad. So if this devotee here is sincerely interested in how cow protection is a practical approach, he might want to buy a ticket and go to Gujarat. Why not check it out? This man here who is asking about what do you do with all the little boy bolts and what do you do with all the surplus cows, go buy a ticket, fly up to Ahmedabad, go to Gujarat, check it out, it's being done.
To see it for yourself,
And also, and another thing, we had a quote there from Gandhi about reference to the villages are more desirable. Srila Prabhupada is a very practical charya. Cities, we do tend to have a doomsday attitude, but the cities are there, and the cities are going on, and there's things going on in the cities that are awesome, like rooftop.
May I just respond to this point?
Collecting of rain, and all of that's going on very nicely.
No, but the point you're making, Srila Prabhupada, if you want to quote Srila Prabhupada or make reference, you have to make complete reference.
This is just the thought, because you said you didn't have any questions.
I'm just making the point that Srila Prabhupada, there was a specific conversation where Prabhupada answered, because the devotees were telling, majority of us are in the cities, and the cities are going on. If the cities will go on, but we should create these communities which will not be dependent on a very artificial way of life. So it is not Prabhupada was practical by bringing home the point, the following point. Everyone should hear attentively. Our preaching bases can be and should be the cities, but our living bases should not be the cities.
Well, I mean, here we have Saranagati Farm, and in reality it's not a farm. They're not creating food. They never really have food.
How do you know they create?
Some people get a food in the garden, but you know, everybody has a little garden.
We should try to hear and understand what the founder of Charya of our society is telling us.
Well, I'm just in the midst of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second book. And in that particular context, in the middle, I'm right in the middle of the second book of first canto. And I mean, there's magnificent reference to the city of Dwarka as being, of course, it's the returning of Lord Krishna to Dwarka after the Battle of Kurukshetra. And the descriptions of the city are magnificent. Of course, this is what Lord Krishna himself was traversing the planet. But the point is, if Krishna
comes what is practical
is
what our acharya is explaining.
The book distribution and preaching, like what Yasamatinanda,
we have to find a proper balance.
Well, of course, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that book distribution is the thing that Prabhupada emphasized.
I'm sorry, I disagree. I'm not saying that Prabhupada did not emphasize, but he did not emphasize to the point of saying that this is the only exclusive activity we should perform. Yes. So we have to keep a balance. We have to understand that Prabhupada spoke about four areas. Anyways, it's a major topic of discussion, and the evening is, you know, going on, and we've probably extended actually the time. I'd just like to close here and maybe mention, or just thank everyone for attending and participating. And definitely there's a need for a lot more discussion and exchange on the subject matter. The subject matter is not an easy one as well. And there are still many controversies in connection with the very word Brahmashram, for example, in many things connected with that. The bottom line is that Srila Prabhupada, in being practical, wanted that we understand how to bring a balance in terms of different activities, and that Varnashram, simple living and high thinking, being reconnected with the land, was something of major importance, which he considered or spoke about as being 50% of his mission, which is something quite major. So I'd like to close here and thank you for giving us the opportunity to make some presentation. Maybe there's something you want to say, or maybe not. Right now. But I'm getting you the mic.
Thank you, Mark. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. Just a little side note. My understanding is, we get the books, we distribute the books, that's sambandhana. Then we have to apply it, and that's Abhidaya, and that's basically what we're discussing.
Prabhupada did mention one time, right? My disciples, I love my disciples. I love my disciples. Prabhupada, what that means, explained. My disciples are really into distributing my books, but I have one little complaint. They're not reading them.
Thank you very much. Actually, this level of presentation should be, you know, given in the top universities around the world to the real intelligent
we
class.
Made it, yeah.
I know there's only so much one person can do, and you're doing wonderful work. And thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you very much for all the efforts and your focus and your vision. Thank you. No, that side of the temple, and just make for lighter work at the end. And also, we could have some help distributing your shot. And if anybody would like to volunteer, come forward to help clean the temple of your shot, it would be very much appreciated. Thank you very much. Sorry about it,
If we have a self-sustained village, that's perfect. But we can still take the books into the cities, right? So this is the balance, right? That you're trying to explain. We can live that way, and then we can try and help other people to see the big picture, right?
It's not that you stop giving importance.
But we put this in effect, and then we go and try and help others put it in effect with the books and the preaching, right?
People who are disagreeing with the books should know that actually this is a long-term thing that Prabhupada wanted us to do.
It was one of the main things he talked about, you know. But anyway. Thank you, Maharaj.
You're right.
You have a long
time. Is your website ecobillage.com?
No, our website is ISKCON Varnashrama.
But because you mentioned some Eco Village something.
Eco Village is the time we gave to the presentation, Eco Village. Uh-huh. But we don't have, maybe somebody else has a website under the name ecovillage.com.